You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Disease du Jour podcast. I'm your host, Carly Sisson, and in this episode, I spoke with Dr. Liara Gonzalez about her research on equine intestinal disease. This episode of Disease du Jour is brought to you by Equithrive. Dr. Gonzalez is a professor of gastroenterology and equine surgery at North Carolina State University College of Veterinary Medicine. She has a particular interest in equine colic, with a focus on the mechanisms and consequences of intestinal ischemia, a common life-threatening complication of colic. Her lab was the first to develop a large animal pig model to study intestinal stem cells, as well as the first to identify these cells in horses and to grow and expand intestinal stem cells into 3D structures derived from pigs and horses. Dr. Gonzalez's research is advancing understanding of intestinal disease through expanded knowledge and use of equine intestinal stem cells in modulating mucosal barrier repair following ischemic damage. Thank you, Dr. Gonzalez, for joining us.
I'm really glad to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Can you get us started by just giving us a little bit of an overview about your background and some of your research focus?
Sure, absolutely. So I'm originally from New York, close to the city, but my family moved to the northeast corner of Connecticut when I was about 7, and that's where I was first exposed to horses and became a passionate, wild horse girl. And then from there, I went to UConn for undergrad, got my degree in biology, and then went on to Cornell for veterinary school. Then ultimately, after graduation, I went to a practice called the New England Equine Practice, which is in Paterson, New York. And then followed that with a surgical residency here in North Carolina and a PhD. So I stayed here and finished my PhD. And it was really during my residency that I became passionate about colic and the desire to help solve that problem. As you know, colic is a leading cause of death in horses. It's continued to be the leading cause of death. And it just, as a clinician, I found it so frustrating because I would have horses that presented similarly, we went to colic surgery, we treated it similarly, and then one horse would be discharged without much issue, and another horse would have severe complications. And it bothered me that I didn't understand what the difference was. And then also just for owners that, you know, I just would have liked to be able to tell them that your money invested was something that, you know, in some way, maybe you can never guarantee, but at least say, you know, I think your horse is going to do fine and return to its normal form of function or not. And so we use our best judgment possible, but sometimes it wasn't accurate. And that really bothered me as a clinician. So when I had the opportunity to do a PhD in gastroenterology, so the study of intestinal disease here at NC State, I chose to do that.
Awesome. Yeah, it's such a common condition and such a variable outcome. And I don't know if you ever imagined that you would delve so deeply into it as you have, but I know that your work has really made such a huge impact already.
Thank you. Yes, I never imagined in a million years would have thought I would be doing this. I honestly, in vet school, I wanted to be an ambulatory veterinarian. Those were the veterinarians that I really looked up to and to this day really value. So I would never have imagined that my career would have been so research-based. But here I am, and I love what I'm doing still.
So I know a lot of your research has focused on intestinal ischemia. Can you give us a little bit of background about what that research has looked like and what it has revealed to us about intestinal injury?
Sure. So intestinal ischemia is when the blood supply to the intestine is cut off. And that can be caused by lots of different causes in colic, where the intestine can twist on itself or they could have a strangulated lipoma. But ultimately, the intestinal blood supply is obstructed, is cut off, and then the intestine does not receive the oxygenated blood that it needs, and it ultimately becomes very, very damaged. And in some cases, the intestine itself dies. And so with that disease, you know, we struggle at times diagnosing it. Some forms of colic actually look really similar to intestinal ischemia. And so, but we know that the sooner you can get a horse on, if it has a strangulating lesion, the sooner you can get on the table, the better the outcome. So we have issues sometimes diagnosing them early. intraoperatively sometimes, although we have a lot of experience, sometimes it's hard to know if the intestine actually needs to be removed or not. It's called a resection anastomosis. So intraoperatively, we struggle to always know whether the intestine will have the capacity to repair itself or not. And then postoperatively, we struggle with knowing whether the intestine regains its ability to function normally. And sometimes those horses have a lot of complications like reflux. And laminitis can occur. And that laminitis is due to a breakdown of a really important barrier, that inner lining of the intestine ended up being broken down by the ischemic damage. So my research has honestly attempted to touch all aspects because colic needs to be treated holistically. And so with very much an emphasis on stem cells, and that's because the inner lining of our intestine has stem cells, and they're the source of regeneration. So all of us have basically a brand new intestinal lining every 7 to 10 days, which fascinated me. And I thought, well, could we harness that capacity of stem cells to predict intestinal viability? So that intraoperative ability to say, yeah, that intestine is going to recover or not. Could we use it to predict patient outcome? Could I take a look at it and say, through those cells, say, you know, tell an owner, you know, I don't know if this horse, you know, if your horse will survive this or not. And so that's really what excited me about specifically looking at intestinal stem cells in the context of colic. Because if we can harness those cells, perhaps we can help the intestine heal faster. And so if the intestine can heal faster, it would prevent some of these serious complications that we deal with postoperatively. And also, as I mentioned before, maybe could help us to predict colic earlier, use them as biomarkers. Maybe it could help us say whether intestine needs to be resected or removed or not. So I think there's a lot of potential in understanding stem cells in the context of the intestine specifically.
Yeah, and I think you just touched on this, but would that also be helpful in potentially predicting surgical outcomes and maybe not even putting the horse on the table if that doesn't have a good outcome?
Yes, exactly.
This podcast is brought to you by Equithrive. Exercise-induced oxidative stress is a key physiologic challenge in performance horses, contributing to muscle fatigue, delayed recovery, and reduced training consistency. Equithrive antioxidant pellets provide a multi-pathway antioxidant strategy designed to support cellular integrity and rapid recovery during repeated bouts of high-intensity work. For veterinarians and trainers managing horses in regular demanding work, Equithrive antioxidant pellets offer precise nutritional support where performance begins, at the cellular level. Use promo code DUJOUR, that's DUJOUR, to get 20% off your first order, plus free shipping at equithrive.com. So walk us through the stem cell identification process a little bit more, because I know that your lab was the first to identify these stem cells in horses and develop them into mini guts. So what did that process entail and look like for you?
Yeah, so from my PhD work, it wasn't just horses. I was working on intestine from multiple species. And because my passion is horses, I ended up bringing back and through the help of graduate students and everything, we were able to optimize this procedure of growing horse stem cells in a dish. And so with a very small sample of the inner lining of the intestine, we're able to isolate the portion of the lining where the stem cells live, and it's called the crypt. You isolate those crypts, and then you put them in a matrix, which supports their structure, and then media and growth factors that they all, like when they're in the intestine, they see those growth factors and mediators, but we have to supply them with it when we're growing them in a dish. And so that's how we are able to grow what we call these mini guts, which basically look like the inner lining of the intestine, but we're growing them in a dish. And so it's, you know, I think it's really fun and cool to, not only they're impressive to see, and actually the horses grow really, really large. So you can see them with your eye without even a microscope at a certain point in their growth. And I think the potential is that if we can now test therapies specifically to say in a very controlled manner, our stem cells, they're so important to regeneration. Will this treatment enhance the regenerative capacity? And that's taking out all the other factors that can sometimes muddy our results when we're looking at a whole horse, for example. And so if we can say in a dish, we can identify the right dosage, the amount of frequency that we need to supply the cells, and then translate it to treating a horse, I think we have the potential to have to more effectively determine whether a treatment actually is going to have a positive effect or not.
When did you first identify these stem cells?
Well, so they're alluded to in the literature. So all mammals have these intestinal stem cells. And in some of the, I was in my PhD, so that was started in 2011. And Van Hugeman papers, manuscripts written by Van Hugeman, alluded to stem cells. But I couldn't find any actual evidence or pictures of those cells. And so it was, I think it was 2011, 2012. I can't remember when that work actually got published because it takes longer to get these things published. But it was relatively early on in my PhD that I was able to, honestly, I used the same reagents and tools that identified stem cells in mice. Then I got it to work in pigs, and then I tried in horses, and voila, it worked. So it was a process that ended up bringing me, like I said, circling back and finally trying it on horse tissue. The stem cell culture was later on. It was my very first graduate student, Amy Stewart, who then basically transitioned the protocol I had developed for the pig, and she tried it on horse tissue. And it worked. It worked actually really, really well. They're easier to maintain actually than even the pig stem cells. So anything that honestly I talk about is a team effort. I just want to say that because it's just a huge amount of work. And I've just been very lucky to work with other amazing students and all of them, almost all of them are veterinarians actually. And some of them are specialty ported.
Awesome. Well, since developing these mini guts, have there been any significant breakthroughs that you've discovered that might impact how we manage colic?
Yeah. So one big thing, I'm going to speak from a surgeon's perspective, is what I recognized is just how resilient the intestine actually is. And it has its amazing capacity to repair. So I think earlier on in my career, I would have been more likely to remove intestine that looked damaged. And now, or as I progress through my career, I have more faith that the intestine has the capacity. I'm more likely to leave it in because I think it has the capacity to, I know it has the capacity to repair, but it's still, so I think doing this research has really given me the confidence to know that in certain cases, not all, that there is a capacity and we just need to be able to support the animal long enough. And so that's the key, is to support them, to give the intestine that capacity. So I think at this stage, that's where we're at. But I would say, I think we're on the cusp of really coming up with some new avenues to help the intestine repair and regenerate faster. And, you know, it's a process. This stuff takes a long time of tedious work, but I'm really excited about what we have coming down the pipeline.
Yeah. Can you touch a little bit more on that? Like, what are some of your current biggest research focuses and what is more of like your long-term research outlook?
Sure. Yeah. So one big thing is understanding how the intestine repairs. And if we're able to, we've started to test some different therapies to see if the intestine is able to repair more effectively. The other big new focus, well, relatively new, is creating, we're actually able to maintain the intestine on a device outside of the body on the benchtop and perfuse it with blood, and we're able to recreate disease. And so by recreating, so we're basically creating colic the minute it happens. Huh. And then continuing with that, basically inducing the same injury that occurs in ischemic injury. And so with that, not only can we understand maybe the process of how injury occurs, but also we'll be able to intervene and try different therapeutics. And so that's kind of hot on sort of not yet published work, but it's should be out relatively soon. So that's really my focus, and biomarkers. If we could identify, so out on the farm, the veterinarian says this horse is colicking. Give them a tool to say how severe the colic is. Is it caused by ischemia? Is it caused by enteritis or colitis? Does it need to be referred? Because we know, and I mentioned this earlier, the earlier we can treat these animals, if particularly if it's a surgical lesion, the more likely that we're going to have a really positive outcome. We've advanced our surgery skills immensely over the years. Like, we are excellent now at our surgical approaches, but sometimes it's that delay because it's just hard. It's just really hard sometimes to diagnose. So if I could do that, I would consider my career a major win in my career to be able to give a tool like that to veterinarians. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that would be huge to have a horse just displaying very early signs of colic and to know pretty immediately whether it has to be referred. I think that would be really a game changer.
Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to touch on is how some of this work in horses is relevant to human intestinal disease. Can you speak a little bit about, you know, that outcome?
Sure. Yeah. So it's interesting. It's related, I would say, tangentially, because this model I was telling you about, keeping the intestine alive on the benchtop, comes from my work using pigs as a model for humans. So another arm of my research is studying intestinal transplantation for people and improving the outcome of transplantation for people, because right now it has the worst outcome compared to any other organs that are being transplanted, like kidney or liver. Oh. And so I'm working with my collaborators at Duke. We have optimized this machine to keep the intestine, the whole length of the intestine, alive for the purpose of transplantation. But now what we're doing is we've flipped it to use it to study the horse intestine. And that's what I was alluding to with creating injury. So it's all very related. The process of ischemia, another injurious process called reperfusion, which is that once the blood gets allowed back into the intestine, it actually, unfortunately, also causes damage. All those processes in mammals, so between, no matter if it's a horse, a pig, or a human, are actually very interchangeable. So it's just that horses are much bigger. So our therapeutics, that the amount that we need to give might be different. When we can, our capacity to diagnose different types of injury is different, because we can't put a horse's entire abdomen into a CT and decide, you know, what the lesion is. So that's where it sort of diverges, is the practical application of some of these things. But aside from that, there's a lot of overlap in treating, diagnosing, and understanding what's happening with what comes to ischemic injury and colic specifically, no matter if you have four legs or two legs.
Have you taken any breakthroughs in human medicine and used that to inform some of your research in horses?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So like I said, I'm really excited about our capacity now to use this machine that we have shown has that the intestine is more viable, that it's a better, we're really confident that we'll be able to transplant a healthier graft between a donor and a recipient human. And it's that machine. And it's been 8 years in the process of working on that. And only this last year have we been able to get it to a point where we could test it with horse intestine. So, I mean, just to show, that's 8 years of work. We're really focusing that arm in particular, while I continue doing this other work in horses, but that advancement in studying a disease process in humans 8 years later, once we made it perfect, or as close to perfect as we could, to now apply it to horse intestine. So that's really been a very, very exciting advancement for us in my lab.
Yeah. For anyone who's interested in learning more about some of this research, are there any particular studies that you want to highlight or any timeline for upcoming research that's going to be published that people should be keeping an eye on?
Sure. Well, I have a web page, so anybody can Google me and they can look up my work on through my webpage. We've tried to keep all the links to the papers live, so you should be able to access them there. If not, you can email me directly at Liara_Gonzalez@ncsu.edu. And we're also on all the major platforms, Facebook and Instagram and things like that, where we try and make sure that our work is available and we're making sure the community knows on what we're doing, so that if somebody has an interest, would like to know more, that you have access to it.
Awesome. And I can leave your website linked in the show notes below, so anyone who's interested in looking at that can go there.
Perfect.
Do you have anything else that you want to add about any of your research or how some of these breakthroughs are going to impact veterinary medicine moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I just have to say, I think it's been an exciting career. It's been unexpected. And so I would say to all like younger people that are coming up, just, you know, just take advantage of the opportunities. Like if any doors open, don't be afraid to try, even if it seems far-fetched. So that would be one big thing, just as a mentor to many students, to just say, it's okay if it feels uncomfortable. Sometimes we just need to work through that discomfort, because getting to the other side can be so rewarding. And so that's what I would say, is that I had no intention to pursue a career that was going to be heavy in research, but it has been so rewarding. And through taking those types of risks, I really feel confident that we're going to come up with some therapies that will be groundbreaking with regard to both, like I said, early diagnosis, because colic, many forms of colic are just not preventable. That's one of the biggest questions I get from owners. How could I prevent this? And we have amazing owners and they try their very, very best. And many forms of colic are just not preventable. So if we can diagnose it early, it will be less expensive. The outcome will be better. So that's really been a major emphasis for me. And then for those that end up on the table as well, it is a large financial investment and emotional investment. Yes. And so if I can help guide an owner, so at least to guide them through that process, that's really important to me. I'm also a horse owner. And so I'm just really passionate about making sure that our owners are as informed in their decision-making process as possible. Yeah, I guess those are my big take-homes. And then I've just been so thankful to have gotten to work with incredible veterinarians coming through. Like I said, much of this work couldn't be done without the hard work of the graduate students that I've been very, very lucky to work with, and the technical staff that I have in the laboratory. So it's a team effort.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on and explaining more about your work. I mean, colic is something that impacts almost every horse owner at some point in their lives. And so even though you're probably very much in the lab and focused on doing this very, you know, intense research, this is something that's really going to have practical applications for every veterinarian and horse owner out there. So I think really—
That's my goal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's my goal. I think that's the beauty of having— I'm so thankful that I was guided to pursue the training that I did, because my goal is to bridge that gap, to gap between the very basic science work and clinical application. That is overall my goal. And I think the way that I can leverage the training that I've been lucky to be able to receive is to bridge that gap, so that we can make a difference tomorrow. Some of these things, as I've mentioned, have taken a long time to come to fruition, but more likely than not to happen in the real time, so that we can make a difference sooner than later.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much again, Dr. Gonzalez, for coming on this episode and explaining more about your work.
Of course. Thank you so much for the invitation. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. I would like to say thank you again to Dr. Gonzalez for joining us, and thank you to Equifer for supporting this episode. And as always, thank you to everyone for listening to Disease Du Jour. If you have any questions or suggestions for the podcast, please email me at csisson@equinenetwork.com.